My older brother, I was in third grade, and he was a junior in high school, and it was Christmas time, and my mom had been baking cookies all day. My brother, he calls me over. He says, "Hey, Steve, come here. I got this great thing for you. I got a big surprise. If you go upstairs and you make my bed and clean my room, then you come down, and I got a huge surprise for you." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? A big surprise for my big brother? Do you promise, Jim?" He's like, "I promise." I'm like, "Sweet." So boop, 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 boop. I go up the stairs, and I go to his room. I make his bed. His room never looks so good. I'm like, "Oh, yeah." I go running downstairs, and it's going to be a surprise. And he's got his hands behind his back, and I'm like, "There it is." Now, I mentioned that my mom had been baking cookies, right? Now, one of my favorite kind of cookies is thumbprint cookies. You know what those are? You know, you roll them up in a ball, and you take your thumb, and you stick them in it, and you bake it, and it becomes like a little dish for jelly or something, right? Back to my brother. So he's got his hands behind his back, right? I'm like, "There it is." And he goes, "Are you ready, Steve?" I'm like, "I'm ready, I'm ready." He says, "Surprise! No jelly! Are you serious right now? That was my surprise?" Third grader, I jumped on him. I started pounding him. My parents had to peel me off of him. I was so mad at my brother. From that day until now, if you want to refer to deception, disappointment, or a broken promise, all you have to do is say, "No jelly." Well, we're talking about a promise tonight, the Christmas promise. And my guess is that somebody here tonight, when you think about the promise of Christmas, you might think, you know, it's kind of like no jelly. Have you ever felt like Christmas can sometimes just be a letdown? I mean, here you guys have been running full throttle ever since the last holiday, which is Black Friday Eve. You know, it's formerly known as Thanksgiving. But, I mean, you've been shopping, and you've been baking cookies, and you've been sending Christmas cards, and you've been shopping some more, and then you've got all these people coming over to your house, and you have been preparing all day, all week. And the dog got into the fudge and made a mess on the carpet that you just cleaned. And you're praying that the in-laws will not fight again like they did last year. And you look around and you think to yourself, is this really the Christmas promise? Is this what it's all about? I think part of the reason why we sometimes have this Christmas promise letdown or this no jelly syndrome is because maybe we've forgotten what the promise is. We're kind of like these guys. We three kings disoriented are. We've lost our way and we've strayed afar. And we've just kind of lost sight of what the Christmas promise is all about. And so we got to ask ourselves, what is the promise? In order to answer that question, we have to roll the tape back 700 years before Jesus was ever born to this guy named Isaiah that we listened to him being read earlier. The people of God lived in a city called Jerusalem, and their cousins to the north in the kingdom of Judah, of the kingdom of Israel, were being slaughtered, being massacred by the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrians were coming south to Jerusalem. They were invading and they were surrounding Jerusalem. And the people were starving. And they were afraid. And they cried out to God, "God, save us, help us." And so Isaiah said to them that God would send them a Messiah. Now, a Messiah means an anointed one. He would be a king. He would be a ruler of Israel, and he would lead them into a time of peace. And as it said in our passage, he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah also said in chapter 7 in verse 14, he said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." 700 years later, an angel appeared to Joseph, who was just a nobody carpenter from Nazareth. And the angel said to Joseph, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God with us. That is the promise of Christmas. You know, sometimes I think we fall into this this no-jelly syndrome of Christmas, and we lose our way because we have what I call holiday dyslexia. Because we think of this God with us, but we switch it around, and we say us with God. Let me tell you what I mean. When you think about those people in Jerusalem who were afraid, I mean, there's this invading army. Of course, their idea of God's salvation would be to have this mighty king come into Jerusalem and drive out the enemies and use violence to stop violence and take those people and establish them in this perfect place of peace. That's not what he did. But sometimes we today, we think of salvation that it is about God swooping into our world and snatching us out of this cesspool of humanity, punishing all the evildoers and taking us into this perfect mansion in the sky. Or maybe we think about being a Christian as being this perfect world, you know? Like everything's just supposed to be perfect all the time. And maybe that's why we work so hard at Christmas time, to make everything just perfect so that we can get close to that perfection, the way it's supposed to be. Perfect. But look at this. The Christmas promise, us with God, that's really a promise of escape, isn't it? Of getting out of here. Because when we look around at the world the way it really is, the world just seems as messed up and as painful as it ever was. Obviously, God isn't keeping his promise, right? Or maybe it's not that God isn't keeping his promise. Maybe God can't keep his promise. And we just dismiss the whole thing and it's a hoax. Or maybe if we don't go that far, maybe we think that we just can reduce God's promise to this fire insurance, right? Where salvation is just God's going to take us away after we die and it'll be perfect then. But that's escaping life. That is not the promise that God made to us. God said that the Son would be called Emmanuel. God with us. The wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, he wasn't going to swoop in and use violence to end violence. He wasn't going to snap his fingers and just make everything perfect for us. He was going to take all of his riches, all of his glory, all of his power, and give it away and become one of us. He was going to show us that the only way to end violence and hatred and war and famine was through humility, through compassion, through sacrificial love. And he was going to show us how to live like that. You see, this is a promise of embrace. God with us. The Apostle Paul said it like this in his letter to the church in Philippi. He said, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The promise is that God is with us in real life. Joseph, he bore the shame of his fiancée becoming pregnant. Mary, I bet you anything, she screamed out in labor. This little baby Jesus was poor. He was put into a common feeding trough surrounded by sheep and cow manure. It was raw, it was real, and it was a lot like our lives. The Christmas promise is that God is with us right where we are today. But one of the questions we have is why? Why did it have to be that way? I want to tell you a story that I heard a long time ago that helps me understand this. It's a story about a family that lived in kind of a rural setting. It was a husband, a wife, and some kids. And the wife and the children, they really believed in this Christmas promise. They believed in Jesus, God with us, coming in flesh. But the husband was one of those guys who's like, you know what? That just doesn't make any sense to me. He was kind of a no-jelly guy, right? He saw right through the promise of Christmas and thought it was a hoax. He says, if that's good for you, go ahead on to church and do your church thing. I'm just going to stay home tonight on Christmas Eve. And they said, Dad, please come with us. He said, no, you go ahead. So he bid them farewell on Christmas Eve, and it was getting really cold that night. The wind started to blow. The temperature started to plummet. So he comes into the living room. He makes himself some hot tea, and he takes his newspaper, and he gets into his favorite comfy chair. He opens up his paper, and just as he's about to relax, bam! Something slams into his window. It startles him, and then bam, bam! It happens again and again. So he gets up, and he looks out his window, and he sees out on his front lawn, there's a whole flock of birds on the ground. And these birds are flying into his window because they see that it's warm inside and they want to get out of the cold. And so this guy, he gets compassion for the birds. And he says, I got to help these birds. They're going to die. Why don't they just go somewhere where it's warm? And he said, hey, I've got a barn in the backyard. It would be safe for them there. So he goes and he puts his coat on and his hat and his earmuffs and he gets all bundled up and he makes it his mission. He's going to save these birds. So he goes into the barn and he turns the light on, he opens the doors, and it's all ready for them. And so he runs over to the birds. He says, come on, birds, come on, the barn is nice and warm. And what do? They're scared. They fly away from him. It's like, birds, come on. So he goes and he gets some breadcrumbs, and he puts the breadcrumbs on the ground to see if he can lure them in. But the wind is howling by now, and whoosh, the bread is gone, just blows it away. So then he thinks, well, maybe I can get some bird seed. And so he spreads the bird seed, because that'll stay on the ground. But everything that he does, when he tries to convince the birds, they just fly away from him. And he's like, birds, come on! Just get in the barn, and you'll be safe from the storm. If only I could become a bird, I could tell them the way to the barn. And just then, bung, 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 the church bell rings for the end of the Christmas Eve service. And he realizes that's what it's about. God had to become a human because we're just like those birds. We're lost out in the cold of our sin and our fear and our violence. And God sent his law, he sent his prophets, and we just kept running away from him. But God loved us so much that he became one of us. He became a bird. And he said, let me show you the way to safety, a relationship with God in the warmth of the barn. That's the Christmas promise. This little baby grew up to be a man. He showed us with his life the way of God. He died to pay for our sin. He rose from the dead to conquer death. And before he left this earth, he made us another promise. He said, "I will be with you always." Emmanuel, God with us. And through the Holy Spirit, we have God with us every day. That's the Christmas promise. And God doesn't pull a no jelly on us. He always comes through. Emmanuel, Merry Christmas, and God be with you. Amen.